Welcome to Gigig Bizarre Show, episode 93, and it's a Monday, April 30th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray, okay. And this is the Nard and Ray Peanut Butter and Jelly Show.
Peanut Butter.
Big Frida.
That's right. So why are we singing that way? Because I just came from Jazz Fest, and that's what, and then Ray and I have been listening to this on our way to New Orleans last weekend.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were in New Orleans last weekend, and that's pretty much one of the things we heard. You know, bounce music and peanut butter.
Yeah, and for y'all that are not unsure where peanut butter comes from, it's a RuPaul song, and it's done with Big Frida, and it's called Peanut Butter.
Yeah. So we got to see them at Jazz Fest last Saturday. So
well, you got to see Big Frida.
Big Frida. That's right. Yeah. But before that, we had an excellent evening out for Temo's birthday. So happy birthday, yep. Temo. Yes.
Happy birthday. Your birthday's over with. Mine's next. Get ready.
That's right. So we ate at Toops South. It's actually owned by Isaac Toops. He's a contestant of Top Chef. And we actually saw him. He's kind of a head-shaven bear with a...
Yeah, he's actually a very good-looking bear.
Yeah, he's a cute bear. It's very straight too. Anyway, so he was there when we were eating. He's just a few feet away from us. And so what is your review of our food at Toop South though?
All the appetizers were incredible.
Yes, they were.
I loved them.
Yes.
My dish, I got the crab spaghetti dish. Mm-hmm. Way too salty.
Me too.
Way too
I noticed
salty.
That too. I had the same thing and yeah, you're right. It is very salty,
and I know he's a big. He likes cooking with salt, but I think they overdid it on mine because I almost sent it back because it was almost where I couldn't eat it.
I think it's almost like you need some rice to eat with it, so it would be to dampen the saltiness.
But it was it was a lemon flavored, and it had a lot of salt in it, so it tastes like lemon flavored salt.
Lemon flavored salt. You can't almost taste the crab.
Yeah, I mean, the crab was the only thing that wasn't so salty. I mean, the noodles and pasta and everything was super salty in the sauce, but that's the only thing. If you go there, just watch it, because he likes to put salt in Toop South.
Yep.
So he's very heavy on the salt.
Yeah. And the salt, well, they had the, what do you call this, what was good there? The cracklings they had. It's really much like
cracklings
the Filipino.
Were incredible.
They were really good, too. And we also had the cheese plate. You ordered the cheese plate.
Right? So that cheese plate was good. Cheese plates are usually always good. They're a good little appetizer.
Yep, they are.
So, and then we had the ribs.
Oh, yeah, the ribs. That's right. Y'all had the
ribs.
And Mike had the fish. Y'all, yeah.
Yeah, Mike had the fish. So, overall, it was good. It's just the only complaint I had was the dish was too salty. So,
I agree. Yeah.
Some people love salt, so.
Yeah.
So if you have high blood pressure or heart conditions, you might not want to go eat at Toop South too often. So
yeah, just probably once in your life or a couple of times, but not all the time because high in salt. So where else did you guys go when we were at the Jazz Fest?
Well, we are at Jazz Fest. I took Timo all over the French Quarter and showed him Jackson Square. We went down to the French Quarter Market and we bought us some hats. We got us some nice little fedora type hats.
Mm-hmm. Pretty classy.
I know. Well, I'm at that age where I can start wearing a hat on my head, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And not a baseball cap. So that was fun. He got to see a lot of New Orleans went up and down Royal Street and shot him a lot of that. I took him to Sucre. For high tea, and I thought I was going to beat the hell out of him while we were in the restaurant because he's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want hot tea. It's hot outside. Why do I want? I was like, dude. I'm just asking you to try this. We can do it once, and you don't ever have to do it again. And he finally calmed his butt down and said, okay, I'll try it. And he actually said he liked it, and he would try it again. I said, well, next time it's going to be on your dime, because that shit's expensive.
That's right. Yeah, it was a fun weekend. So, actually, that dinner also on Saturday, we got to eat at the Company Burger.
Yeah, Company Burger is pretty good.
Yeah, actually they have cracklings too, but we didn't go for that. But yeah,
the little cub that took our order, he was really cute.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's how do you even describe how to get there? It's I guess it's Midtown. I guess it's part of Midtown New Orleans. So it was fun. It was good. And we had an adventure. Well, actually, Timo had an adventure Saturday night.
One of the ladies I work with, her son works in New Orleans at a piercing tattoo place over on French Street. So Timo's been talking, oh, I'm going to get my nipple pierced. I'm going to get my nipple pierced. So I drug him in there and said, okay, let's get your nipple pierced. Happy birthday. This is one of your presents. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what? Huh? It's like, well, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. But you keep talking about getting your nipple pierced. Here's your chance. So he bucked up and got one of his nipple pierced. And then all night long as we walked around and stuff, we walked from there and we walked over to the Phoenix and the Eagle. And he was all pulling his T-shirt away from his nipple going, ow, 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 oh, God, oh, ow, 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 all night long. So it was like, oh, Lord, here we go. So.
Yeah, that's going to be like a couple of weeks. Very, very sensitive. You know, walking for him will make him really hard. Yeah, don't you think so?
Well, I don't know. It seemed like Sunday he was fine, and today he seemed fine with it. See, and he didn't seem to complain too much. He finally took the Band-Aid off the top of it. So I guess it's getting back to normal.
Oh, my God. When you're having sex, oh, my God, it would drive him crazy.
Well, I'll drive him crazy when we're having sex anyhow. So you don't need pierced nipple for that. I do that naturally. It's my Guatemalan-ness. You just can't handle the hotness.
Right. Okay. So we also got to, going home, we got to try a new restaurant called TikTok.
On the west side of New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. It's around Metairie. And the TikTok restaurant was pretty good mom-and-pop place. And it's interesting because they had pancakes, they had omelets, they're pretty good.
They also had a lot of local color in there.
Very local, yeah.
So,
you know, it's advice for everyone, if you guys can eat any kind of omelet, just add salsa with it and you're good to go. It's really good. So yeah, we got home. It's pretty good. We just got back to Houston around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, which is just enough time for us to relax for the day. You got to watch your TV?
Yeah, I got caught up on some of my TV shows, and I did some more when I got home, and then piddled around in the yard and fixed dinner and just come upstairs so we could record and get ready for bed. So, start another new day. I'm still a little tired from all the walking.
I bet. So. All right, we have a couple of stories from you guys, because this week, well, last weekend, is it the opening weekend for Avengers, Infinity War?
Yes, it was opening weekend for Avengers. And we're going to talk about the Avengers, but we're not going to give any spoilers because it has actually nothing to do with the movie.
That's right.
It has more to do with Maynard's sex life.
No, it's not. It's not even. It's not. It doesn't have even the kind I like.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So.
All right. Okay, so let's go to. You want to take this or I want to take this?
I'll take it.
All right.
All right. Avengers sex toys assemble.
Late last year. You're saying it right, Ray.
What? Avengers sex toys assemble.
There you go. Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Late last year, Australian sex toy maker Geeky Sex Toys gave us a serious pause. At the time, it was producing sex toys based off Star Wars, including a seriously optimistic rendition of Yoda's verdant dong. And there was no clear reason why the company wasn't saddled with so many cease and desists from Disney as to leave a dildo-shaped crater in the Australian landscape. Now it's getting naughty with Disney's stable of Marvel superheroes, too. The company still hasn't explained to IO9 how it can get away with these shenanigans. We have reached out for comment, but the potential legitimate action hasn't stopped the sex toy maker from profanicating on what it would be like to get fisted by Death's ex-boyfriend. So, thanks for that. At any rate... And y'all should go buy these before they do get a cease and desist order. At any rate, it looks like Thanos can use the Infinity Gauntlet for a lot more than killing off half the universe. The Infinity Fist, as you guessed it, is a fist-shaped dildo intended to conjure images of Thanos' gold-encased meaty hand.
Fist-shaped dildo.
Yeah. It is naturally not true to size because human beings have limits, and I'm pretty sure getting played like a puppet by a hand-sized... The hand the size of a ham shank is one such limit. Although Maynard does give it pause.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Here's the rest of the Indulgence's Pleasure War collection. If it or the Simile's enormously green, incredible dong does not appeal, Geeky Sex Toys is also selling Captain Anal and Ars Reactor butt plugs, Agent Gets Me Off, a Black Widow branded fleshlight, and the Hulk ass, and an arrow-shaped dildo intended for pegging. A target just like the world's greatest marksman. Personally, though, my favorite is the Mjolnir, which is just Thor's Mjolnir
with
the dildo for a handle and a neat little stand to drive the pun home. So, you know, so I figured Maynard would get this one because he's not pure enough to lift the hammer, but he can sure ride it all night long.
Right.
So
this should have been a geek, actually. This is not really gay. It's geek because it's about a weird dildo. It's a geeky. It's borderline geeky and bizarre. So audience, it's kind of a geeky bizarre because dildos of it's a dildo out of Avengers related things. It's called Mjolnir, by the way. I think that's what they call it. How do you pronounce it? Of all this time you've been watching and reading Thor magazines. How do you say it?
Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Mjolnir.
That's how Mjolnir.
You call it. That's what I said. Yeah. Most people like to say Mjolnir because it's got a J in it, but it's Mjolnir.
Yeah, I've always called it Mjolnir too. Mjolnir. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's gone. It's not Mjolnir anymore. It's, what is it called now? I forgot. Didn't they?
I don't know. Well, it got destroyed in the last Thor movie, so we'll have to see what he has now.
Okay. So yeah, it's this is an article from Gizmodo. So yeah, it's not really gay. It's really geeky and bizarre, actually. Who would want to use this in their ass? Oh, sorry, that's right.
You?
What? No, I do not. I don't want a.
I know we got a friend of the show, Johnny, who would love to have that Captain America butt plug stuck up somebody's butt.
Oh, I bet.
With a shield on it.
Okay, so let's go to the next article, which is kind of a heartwarming story about a son getting a tattoo. So it's about a gay dad. So a gay dad is furious when his son gets a tattoo until he sees what it is. This is from Queerty.com. So it used to be every parent's nightmare. Now it's just the nightmare of a significantly smaller subset of parents, including this gay New Jersey dad. And like many parenting nightmares, it started with a text. Backing up a bit, Richard adopted his son, Jonathan, in 2005 at the age of 5. Just to clarify, Jonathan was 5, not Richard. That would have been far too young to become a father, and this would have been a very different story. Jonathan has since joined the Navy and sent his dad into a tizzy a few weeks ago when he told him via text he planned to get a tattoo. Richard shared the story with the parenting website Gay With Kids. "Don't you dare," he texted back to his son. Of course. He's a rebel, of course. "It's just that when it's your own child and they are permanently going to alter the look of their body, all sorts of thoughts start going through your head," Richard explains. "How is it going to look when he is older? What is he going to choose? Will he regret it? Will he ever be able to cover it up? Will they see it in a job interview? How did he choose the tattoo artist? Is he just going to getting one due to peer pressure?" "It's the Jewish mother in me," that's what Richard said. A couple of weeks went by and Richard thought the idea was put to rest. But Richard got another text. Jonathan went through with it. The ink was, they say, was dry and Richard was furious. Oh, he really had the tattoo. So then another text came in, this time with the photo of Jonathan's new tattoo below his chest, written in Roman numerals. Jonathan had the date of his adoption inked. "I was so taken aback," Richard said. "My fear that he was going to get something ridiculous, something he would regret, shifted. I could not be more proud of him. What an amazing tattoo." Jonathan posted a photo online with the caption, "So I got my first tattoo. The date is the day that my life changed. This is the day my dad's adopted me. The greatest day in my life, knowing that for the rest of my life, I would be finally have a loving family that loved me for me." Aw, it's a heartwarming story, Ray. Is that the next thing Temo's going to have? He's going to tattoo next time?
What? No, he wants a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, really? He's going to go for a tattoo? First piercing, now a tattoo, huh? Okay.
Well, he's already got tattoos. He wants more.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So...
All right, so yeah, it's I don't know. Do you have anyone in your family who had tattoos and you had to ridicule them at some point?
No, I don't think anybody in my family has tattoos out of fear of my grandmother crawling out of her grave, which I think we've talked about before.
Is your grandmother had a tattoo?
No, she had a thing about tattoos.
Why? What's wrong with tattoos?
She was like, her brothers were in the Navy during World War II, and they got them, and she just thought they were disgusting. She just could not stand them. She did not like them. And what she beat into our heads as grandkids and as kids was that tattoos are nasty, and I might not ever catch one on your body.
Oh, so. It's not a religious thing for her, right?
No.
It's more like disgusting. Okay.
So I've never gotten one. I've thought about it. The one time I did go to get one, I was too drunk, and they wouldn't tattoo me. So, it was her intervening. She got me too drunk. So
it's not a good idea to have a tattoo when you're drunk, right?
No, they're not supposed to tattoo when you're really drunk because of the blood stuff. So.
Yep. All right, let's go to the geek ray.
Okay, Star Trek 4's S.J. Clarkson becomes the first female director in the franchise history.
Oh, really?
Yeah, S.J. Clarkson has been tapped to direct Star Trek IV, making her the first female to helm a film of the Star Trek franchise. Paramount Pictures had no comment. The studio announced at CinemaCon in Las Vegas that it was planning a fourth movie with Chris Hemsworth, who appeared as Chris Pine's father in 2009 Star Trek. Zachary Quinto is also set to return. Paramount is developing another Star Trek film from J.J. Abrams and Quentin Tarantino, but sources say it is still being written and would come after the fourth movie. While details on Star Trek IV are vague, sources say a key plot point sees Pine's character running into his father, Hemsworth, in a time travel ploy. J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay penned the screenplay. Abrams and Lindsay Weber were produced through Bad Robot Productions, while David Ellison and Dana Goldberg of Scott Antz Media were executive produced. The original 2009 reboot of Star Trek earned $385 million worldwide, while the sequel, Star Trek Into Darkness, made $467 million globally in 2013. The third Star Trek Beyond, brought in $343 million worldwide in 2016. Clarkson is best known for her work on the TV scene with shows such as Dexter, Bates Motel, Orange is the New Black, and Jessica Jones. She recently directed a handful of episodes from Marvel's The Defenders.
Okay, so just a comment on these movies. I think Star Trek Into Darkness, isn't that the episode where...
That's where they did the whole reimagining of Khan thing.
Of Khan, right? What's his name again? The actor? He's playing Doctor Strange. Benedict Cumberbatch. I imagine the reason why is because he's in it. He's the one playing, Khan there. So anyway, why it has a lot of money. Yeah.
Even though Disney has not acquired Star Trek, most of the Disney Marvel characters, actors are starting to appear in all these Star Trek movies.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So interesting. It's good that this reboot, ever since they had the reboot, and now it's the fourth film coming up. You know, Star Trek has always had the first of everything. You know, first interracial interracial relationships, interracial kiss, first gay. Wait, in sci-fi, first gay? First gay kiss? I guess in Star Trek.
Star Trek Beyond had the first gay kiss in Star Trek.
Oh, wait.
There have been hints in it in the movies and the TV shows that some of the characters were gay, but it was never followed through until Star Trek Discovery, where they're actually openly gay couple.
And there's a gay kiss in Star Trek. Deep Space Nine? Remember? There was a two girls that they...
Oh, the two girls, Dax. Yeah, they did that.
Dax's character is supposed to be a male in the previous life, something like that. That's why they were kissing and everything.
And in Star Trek Beyond, there was a kiss between Sulu and his partner.
Oh, was it really? I can't remember. I do remember them, hugging.
Yeah, because it was a big thing with George Takei saying that Sulu wasn't gay and they shouldn't have done that and blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I could understand why George Takei would have wanted a different character who would have been gay, because all along they didn't think in the original series Sulu's not supposed to be gay. Well,
they never said he was or wasn't.
Yeah. So, but then,
all we know about Sulu is that at some point he had a daughter.
Oh, back then? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because she was in the reboot, in the she was on one of the ships, in one of the movies with Kirk. When they started doing the Star Trek movies, she was in there. She had a cameo.
Oh, wait, so, are you talking? Yeah, yeah. It's anyway. So it's Star Trek geekiness. Anyway, yeah. So we'll wait for it and see what happens. Maybe a couple of years, or maybe next year. All right. Now let's go to a very important merger, because this might change a lot of things if it ever becomes allowed by the FCC, or I don't know who's going to be allowing it. So Sprint and T-Mobile have announced that they will merge. Yeah, this is a news that we've been hearing for a couple of days now. So the number of major wireless carriers in the United States could shrink from four to three. Sprint and T-Mobile have announced, what are they going to be, S-Mobile? T-Sprint? Anyway, so have announced that they intend to merge. The merger will need to be approved by regulators and the company's shareholders. Good luck with that. So the combined company will be based in Bellevue, Washington, and it will be called T-Mobile. Oh, really? Just T-Mobile? Current T-Mobile's CEO, Jean Leger, will run the combined company, while T-Mobile COO Mike Sievert will become the new company's COO and president. T-Mobile's main majority owner, Deutsche Telekom, will hold a 42% stake in the company, while Sprint's majority owner, SoftBank, will hold 27%, with public stakeholders holding the rest. Sprint CEO Marcelo Clary and SoftBank CEO Masayoshi Son will sit on the combined company's board. So the companies say that by combining, they'll be able to lower prices and take advantage of greater economies of scale. The two companies have trailed their larger rivals, AT&T and Verizon, and the merger between Sprint and T-Mobile will give them a boost as they begin to deploy their next generation 5G network. That's the big thing, Ray, the 5G network they're trying to do. So across the country, the combined company will have nearly 100 million customers. The merger comes after years of an on-and-off talks about the two companies. Sprint had been prepared to buy T-Mobile in 2014. But those talks didn't go anywhere. They resumed those talks in May of last year and came close in September to reaching a deal, only for Sprint to call them off in October. T-Mobile then made its own offer in November, but that quickly collapsed as well. The talks resumed again earlier this month, and on Friday, CNBC said that the two were closing in on a merger to the tune of $26 billion. While the two companies have agreed to merge, they will have an uphill battle before that actually happens. The deal will have to be cleared by regulators, who might not be happy about the smaller number of carriers. In 2011, a planned merger between AT&T and T-Mobile attracted fierce resistance from the regulators, and it was ultimately canceled. So who knows? This might be canceled too, because, you know.
Well, I don't know. I think their merger would be give them a better position in the market against AT&T and Verizon.
Yeah, that's true. But the regulators says you'll be reducing the number of competitors if you do that. So
yes, but when T-Mobile tried to merge with AT&T, that would have made AT&T a much larger company.
So having T-Mobile and Sprint merge. They're relatively smaller. But combined, it'll be a little bit bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
But we'll see if the competition would. So, Ray, yeah. Would this be a good time for us to move to Sprint, to T-Mobile?
I'm not changing anything. I'm happy with what I got, and I ain't messing with not a damn thing.
Yeah, but it's the point, though. What if they.
I ain't moving. Nope.
If they offer something cheaper than what you're paying for now and giving unlimited. Because that's how T-Mobile does, wouldn't you go for it?
Well, then I'd go to Verizon and say, look, what kind of plan do y'all have to match this? Or I'm going to go to them, and they would come up with something, I'm sure.
No. You know, you just don't want to move to any carrier, huh?
Yeah. I'm happy. I don't have any problems with what I'm dealing with. It's all good.
Okay. That's cool.
So I'm not one of these people that jump phone companies or power companies every 5 minutes because there's some new deal out there.
Oh, power companies? Well, that's different. So. Some people are very meticulous about that, and there are ways around it. Well, I don't know if I told you. Yeah, that's a different story. Yeah. All right, let's go to the bizarre.
All right. How about you take this one? I'll take the last one.
It's an ice cream story. Is it any good? Let's see. Elgin ends 45-year ban on ice cream trucks and carts. Okay. Why in the world would a city even consider banning ice cream and carts? Maybe because of diabetes, you think?
I don't know. Maybe they were scared of Caswell showing up or something. I don't know.
Maybe. After 45 years of an ice cream... 45 years! Good Lord. 45 years of an ice cream ban that over the years was questioned by both residents and vendors, the Elgin City Council opened a new chapter with some laughter Wednesday. I just don't know how someone could vote against this nationwide phenomenon, Councilman Toby Shaw said. So I have to vote yes for it, I guess. The biggest thing since sliced bread. Councilwoman Tish Powell chimed in as her colleagues shared the laugh. The unanimous vote was no surprise after our preliminary unanimous yes last month to amending city code to allow ice cream trucks and ice cream carts from April through October. The change applies to the sale of ice cream and other frozen desserts, not food trucks, which in Elgin are allowed only at the special events and on private property. The move comes from resident Jim Cremines, an ice cream truck owner, approached city officials last summer asking for loosening off of regulations. The ordinance requires ice cream trucks to be at least 18, pass a background check, and get a yearly permit after a safety inspection. Police Chief Jeff Swoboda said background checks take about 10 days, but occasionally the state portion can take up to 45 days. Look at that. It takes 10 days to get an ice cream, for background checks for ice cream, and the state portion to take 45 days, but to get a gun, it takes about minutes. Anyway, that's a different story. Anyway, so, Ray, let me ask you about ice cream trucks. Did you grow up with it in South Carolina?
No, we did not have ice cream trucks.
It was not popular?
Well, I mean, we were too rural. They made no sense.
Oh, because it's... not like from some cities. So, are we talking about those trucks? These are the trucks that go around. They play music and they go to parks. Is this what it is?
Stuff like that, and roll around neighborhoods and sell kids ice cream and stuff. Yes, that's what we're talking about.
I see. I even wonder where this Elgin is. It doesn't say what state this is. Is this in the U.S.?
Illinois. I think it's Illinois.
Oh, okay. Doesn't sound like it, but yeah. Anyway, it's interesting that the. How could a city ban ice cream? Maybe ice cream. You can buy it anywhere else. Like it said, you can do it in a private function or an event.
Well, 50 years ago, they had ice cream in soda shops because that's where I grew up. We went to the drugstore to the soda shop to get ice cream and stuff. That's where you got it from.
That's the only place you can get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, just because all the drugstores had ice cream counters and soda counters already built into them. So.
Yeah.
And it was up and until about maybe 20 years ago that changed.
Yeah, probably that's it. So about these carts, the same thing though. I guess there's in the Philippines. I grew up with those. They would walk around. They call it sorbetes, and they would have these carts. They would push around, and you give it in a small cone, and then they scoop it up and they give it to you. And what's funny about it? It's called dirty ice cream. It's a funny way you call it because it's from the streets. So. You don't really know how they made it. It's just from some stranger. They're not even affiliated with anyone. They just walk around with this ice cream and just give it to kids.
So they could have made it in a nasty bathtub at home.
Exactly. So that's why they're calling it, dirty ice cream. That's in Manila. If you talk to a Filipino and you ask him about dirty ice cream, tell me about dirty ice cream. Oh, I know that. They would tell you what it is.
So you should send money back home and open up a... thing of dirty ice cream trucks.
Dirty ice cream trucks. Yeah, that'd be good, I guess, yeah. So. Even frozen yogurt, that's now becoming a thing now, so I guess... Yeah.
Well, now the thing is all those organic fruit pops and stuff. You see all those stands popping up everywhere. I mean, those wouldn't go over in Manila, because God forbid Pinoys eat healthy, but...
I don't know about that. Everything's eaten with rice. There.
Yeah,
everything's eaten with rice. All right, let's go to the next story, Ray.
Okay, straight guy accidentally turns gay group fantasy into reality with one sexting mistake.
So this is really a gay story in the bizarre section.
Well, no, it's not really a gay story. It's about a straight boy that had one job and he fucked it up.
Oh, okay, that's right. Okay. Okay.
Kyle accidentally started a lesbian cult. That sentence may trigger adolescent fantasies in some men, but the reality is far less titillating for the guy involved. In a likely attempt at Snapchat sexting efficiency, Kyle tried to message a group of women he'd been pursuing. By the women's own logic, his intention was likely to send nudes. But that's not what Kyle did. Instead, he sent a group chat to all the women who quickly realized how amusing the situation was. Kyle probably wanted to send nudes to all of us, but he ended up creating a group, reasoned one of the group's unwitting members. Others agreed before someone cracked a joke. We should kick him out of the group and just send each other nudes. Or was it a joke? I'm always down for that, someone else wrote, and another quickly chimed in. Oh my God, I am so down. I like girls, so this will be a dream, said one of the women. After some photos were exchanged, one exclaimed, wait, excuse me, how are you all so hot?
They're all and that's how we get.
And that's how we get this gorgeous use of English language. Kyle accidentally started a lesbian cult.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the story on Gay Geek Bazaar on Facebook, you can actually see the Twitter text between all of them and the girls talking to each other about it. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, Kyle's fuck up. That's the topic.
So Kyle's trying to get him some poontanny, but he hooked all these bi and lesbian girls up, and they're all getting them some now from the group. So,
nice.
Sorry, Kyle, but I'm sure they'll appreciate you. Maybe they'll make videos for you and send you some Snapchats of it.
Yeah, he's probably just a lurker at that point. All right, I guess that's our story for the stories for the week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We had a good weekend. We went to New Orleans, and we had good stories for this week, and hope you guys enjoyed them. So special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbazaar. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbazaar.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. Kyle, call us at 281-947-2327.
That's cute. We'll comfort him.
Yep. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbazaar.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.
Okay. Peanut butter.